Today is a unique day, and it's far bigger than we think, because there are many different kinds of mothers, and all are being honored today. For the mother who's chosen to stay at home while her children are little, may your patience be great and your influence even greater. For the single mom who never planned on doing this alone, may you be consistently strengthened by your Heavenly Father, and may you hear His voice singing over you. For the mother who strives to balance work outside the home with love inside the home, may you be given energy, validation, and hope as you make the leap from one world to another every day. For moms who had poor mothers themselves, but who now refuse to let that pattern repeat itself, may the godly legacy you've started be carried on for generations to come. For mothers with grown adult children, may today be filled with laughter and joy, and may you experience deep satisfaction and fulfillment. For women who have no biological children of their own, but who mother younger women as mentors, may you understand your role as a calling from God and as a transformation of their hearts. Today is a unique day, so for all the mothers we mentioned, and even those we didn't, be blessed, be honored, be filled with joy. You are making the world a better place because you're filling it with a love that only a mom can give.
That's true, isn't it? They're all types of mothers fulfilling different roles in different places. And we remember them today. We also do remember those who have lost mothers in the past 12 months or mothers who have lost children. We remember those who have not been able to have children. We also remember that today is a day of great joy for many, but it's also a day of great pain for others. And so we gather together on this day to hear God's word and to be inspired by the life and testimony of Jesus' mother, Mary, but also by the life and testimony of other mothers who seek to honour Christ. Now, one of the families we are supporting in the month of May are Jono and Heather Crane, who serve Christ in Mozambique. And we're doing a little bit of mothering there, as you can see. And a few years ago, their son Caleb, I was reading this one of their stories, was riding a push bike and fell in a hole and then went face first onto a concrete path. Smashed teeth, terribly sore and broken. And you have to understand, they didn't just ring Triple O because there wasn't a Triple O. Right, and where they live in Mozambique. And the mother says this is what had to happen. The process then began of gathering passports, finding childminders for three of the kids, swapping vehicles with teammates, trying to slow the bleeding, and racing to the Malawian border before it closed, because they needed to go into another country. After 6 hours of driving and spending the night in Blantyre, they visited a trainee dentist in the morning who was filling in for the real dentist. He could do nothing as the power was out in the city. So we couldn't wait, so we had to look elsewhere for treatment. Jono, her husband, quickly organised two air tickets to South Africa. And within a few hours, Jono and Caleb were on a flight to South Africa, or so they thought. But the plane had engine trouble and was delayed till the next day. 2 days later, Caleb finally got to see a dentist who was amazed that he had had no painkillers the whole time. He says, Josiah and I drove 8 hours back to Mozambique. We then waited 4 days to drive back to Malawi to pick them up from their return flight. Then we all drove back to Mozambique once again. She says, I am feeling tired just remembering it. You're not the only one thinking about it. Dare to call her an inspiring mother. Living in a place like that with the complications that come. I mentioned Joyce Sleeman, the family we're focused on this week. Moved to Lebanon with a young family, young kids. Had come from Lebanon to beautiful Australia, where you can get a good education, where bombs and suicide bombers are not normally, at this stage, blowing themselves up. You're not caught between the missiles coming from Israel attacking Hezbollah and other groups across your country or into the south of your country. When I was there, they showed me the bridges we drove over. Said, this bridge, it wasn't here. This bridge, it wasn't here. They all got hit by the missiles from Israel when it was attacking rebels in the southern part of the country. This bridge you're driving on, they said it wasn't here. See, they went from here to another country to take the gospel to other people. It's inspiring. There are inspiring mothers in this place, all over the place. And we honour them today. But Mary is a wonderful example of an inspiring mother. And firstly, I want to say that she was a mother whose soul glorified the Lord. See, Mary had been informed, and Mary, keep in mind, is probably about 15 years of age here, betrothed to Joseph, and receives a word from God that she would have a baby by a miracle of God, and he would be the Son of God. And then when she went to meet Elizabeth, we read in Luke 1, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, he exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And then Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. When you experience the grace of God, let me say to you, when you experience the grace of God and the work of God in your life, it ought to lead to your soul, the very essence of who you are, glorifying God or magnifying God, and your spirit rejoicing God, your Saviour. And there's something spiritually beautiful right here. I want you to tap into it for a moment. Because I think her spiritual beauty reaches its emotional peak in this part. Because you have to ask the question, how does the inner person glorify or magnify God? Now, my mouth magnifies God by saying, God is magnificent. I've just done it, right? God is magnificent. God is wonderful. God is a great creator. God is a great redeemer. God is a great savior. I was lost and now I'm found. How good is God? I use my mouth to speak. See, but no one hears the soul. So you're not saying my words glorify the Lord, and they do, but my soul does it. Now, I don't think she's just verbalizing a silent prayer. I think she's saying that at that moment, her very essence, her soul, her spirit feels the greatness and the holiness and the mercy of God. Something deep inside of her. And as a result, it leads to great joy. My spirit rejoices in God. So overcome by the generosity of God. So overcome that she's going to bear the Son of God. That it just, the joy is inside of her. And friends, an inspiring mother is one who recognizes the grace of God in her life and feels and experiences a deep joy in her soul. That all she has is a gift. And let me suggest that until you get that joy, your life will not be spent in God-exalting living and ministry. Men or women, may I rejoice in God my Saviour. Did you notice that though? She rejoices in who? God my Saviour. Mary is chosen by God to bear the Son of God, but she recognises that she is a sinner like the rest of us, and needs saving. Now, some churches don't teach that. But Mary calls, and I'm not going to address specifically other churches' teaching, but Mary calls God her Savior. In other words, who needs a Savior other than a sinner, someone who's done the wrong thing, right? So Mary realizes she is not perfect. She is not sinless. She needs a Savior. She rejoices in him. And the right response to God's grace is joy and praise and prayer and witness and obedience. When you know him, you want to be obedient to him. When you're filled with joy, as Mary was, God, whatever you want. I don't get this. How as a 15-year-old, I'm going to bear a son without having sex with my husband. I don't have any idea how that's going to work, God. But if that's what you want to do, Wow. Can you imagine being a 15-year-old girl? Being obedient to God in that and rejoicing in him, knowing that, Joseph was trying to break off the engagement, because what are people going to think? And Mary goes through with this obediently with great joy. Can you imagine going home? Oh, you're pregnant. Yeah, how did that happen, God? Heard of that one before. Right? What do you do as a 15-year-old in your town when you're engaged to a man to be married and you say, oh, I'm pregnant? It has nothing to do with my husband. Just be captured by, this is an outstanding thing for a young woman to have to go through. And the shame and the embarrassment and the gossip and the rumours that would have been thrown in her direction. Oh yeah, you heard about Mary, right? Down the street. But she goes through with it. Because this is joy, because God is involved. Let me illustrate the story of a mother who was filled with the joy of Christ and the confidence to call out to God for a spiritual breakthrough in the life of her daughter. There was this young girl, 12 years of age, 5'6", 100 kilos. In primary school, she was mocked and insulted. She said, in fact, my teacher would insult me and say inappropriate things about my weight. She said, I had no confidence, I had no self-esteem. In fact, I was no good academically. I had D's and F's, she said. They made me repeat seventh grade because I was supposedly so slow. She said, but my mother was a Christian. My mother prayed and encouraged me. She kept saying, my daughter, or Donna, and that was the girl's name, said, I'm going to pray for you and next year's going to be a better year. I'm going to pray that God will work in your life to make a difference. And the mother had this confidence in God and a joy in God. But the next year she went back to school and it was no better. They tested her. They sent her off for testing with a pediatrician and a psychiatrist to find out what disability she had. Why was it that this girl did badly academically, that she couldn't relate to anyone? And both doctors said, you are quite bright, in fact. You are very bright. But something has happened that has locked you up inside and you can't break through. First day of high school, she said, I was miserable again. I hid in the bathroom because I was away from everyone else. And then I used to love to sing, she said, and I started to sing. She's in the bathroom, right, away from everyone, looked around, there's no one here, and she started to sing. And then she heard a teacher walk past. She worked out it was a teacher because the teacher called out, who is that? And, you run out of the bathroom, I'm sorry, miss, it's me, Donna. What were you doing in there? I said, I was singing. I said, that's a wonderful voice, she said. I'd like you to come and try out for our choir tomorrow. She said, no, I can't do that. No, I'm too shy for that. And the teacher said, don't you ever say you can't do something. Don't you ever say you can't do something. I want to see you tomorrow morning. She went home, said to her mother with a big glow on her face, Mum, the teacher wants me to try out for this choir. Turns up the next day with trepidation. Walks in, face down. She started to sing and said, sing louder, sing louder, sing louder. Chosen as first soprano in the choir. As she started to sing in the choir, she became more confident, spoke up in classes and studied better. She made the honour roll academically. She went on to sing in musicals and to excel at school. She said, I was cracking jokes one day when one girl said, Donna, I would never have dreamed you were like you are. She replied, I didn't know who I was either. And then she writes, God changed me, not physically so much. He boosted my confidence so that my intelligence and humour could blossom. Mum started a positive chain reaction when she prayed for me. My greatest fan reached the one who loves me even more than she does. My mother believes that God has a plan for each person, and that included me. An inspiring mother, trusting and rejoicing in a grace-filled Saviour who dared to believe that God could take a life and transform it. You see, when you have that joy in God, when you have the peace of God, when your soul overflows in worship, you don't sit back and fail to trust God. You just step up and you pray and you love and you serve. That's what Mary did. That's what God calls us to do. But let me say that even in the midst of loss and grief, there can be radical joy through Christ. Of course, many have lost sons or daughters. And there was a missionary family that I knew of, Glenn and Stephen Venns, who served in Zambia in 1980. One of the first deaths that I'd heard of a missionary family's child dying, and it impacted me back in a number of years ago. January 1992, Paul, the youngest son, was bitten by a dog. They'd assured the family that the dog had been vaccinated for rabies and he would be okay in time. Life continued as normal, but on October 16th, he became ill. For 3 weeks, was in intensive care in Johannesburg, South Africa, until he died on November the 3rd. And the mother says, I thank God that he had a very strong faith, loving, sharing it, and encouraging others. At 10, she wrote, he's got what it's all about. At 10, he understood what life is about. I know that he is now healed and free. I will never forget God's all-enveloping, uplifting presence, strength and comfort in circumstances so devastating and unbearable. I thank him for the life-changing revelation of himself through the hard time. Mary's heart overflows, her soul overflows with joy. And when it does, you throw yourself into ministry and service of God no matter what happens. But secondly, she's the mother who gives God the glory in all things. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. I love the beauty of Mary's humility, inspiring mothers, as well as achieving great things, are intensely humble because they know they're saved by grace. They know it's all of God, and they give glory to God. And she recognizes her lowliness and humility. And humility, let me say, is a key characteristic of all inspiring mothers. A few years ago, I asked the church for some comments about how their mothers inspired them. And in this area of humility, they said things like this. My mother was selfless. She put the need of children above their own needs. My mother was a servant. My mother showed self-sacrificing love. My mother showed perseverance in times of difficulty. My mother put herself between a violent, abusive, alcoholic husband and her children. She took the physical and emotional anguish so we didn't need to. Another said, my mother didn't get the life she wanted, but she never stopped serving her family. My mother showed unconditional love and care to rebellious daughters. My mum was always being there. My mum was emotionally strong. My mother was kind and generous and loving. I still miss her very much. Nothing I told her or did changed her opinion of me. A humility and a strength and a servant heart. That's what Mary was like. But I want you to notice the impressiveness of Mary's grasp of the Bible. Because the song that we've had read to us today and that we're focusing on has been influenced by a song of Hannah in the Old Testament. Remember the story? There was Samuel and his mother Hannah. Hannah had no children, was abused by other women because of it, and she prayed earnestly that the Lord would give her a son, and he did. So in 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah then sings a song of praise, which is very similar to Mary's song. It's not the same song, they're not just quoting the Old Testament, but some of the ideas, or many of the ideas, are similar. You see, Mary is so steeped in Scripture, that when she breaks out in praise, the words that come naturally to her lips are the words of Scripture. When you know the Word of God, when you go to praise God, the Word of God overflows. And Mary is like that, even as a young 15-year-old. I guess she has heard the stories of women of faith, of Sarah, and of Deborah, and of Hannah, and of Ruth. As she travels to Elizabeth, she's thinking about these prayers of these women, and it just overflows into this song. And friends, inspiring mothers are mothers who are soaked in the Word of God. Mothers who are soaked in the Word of God. And again, I asked a few years ago about your own mothers, those who had an influence on you, and you will know that my mother did not have a biblical influence on me, did not have a spiritual influence on me, because she didn't know the Word of God and she didn't know Jesus. I needed other people to speak into my life to do that. But some of you experienced that, and some of you are now giving to your children. It says, my mother taught us the Bible and prayed with us. My mum, always praying and reading the Word as a model, as an example. The days in my family started and ended with prayer, someone else said. Someone else said, my mother is a faithful, inspirational prayer warrior. Inspirational mothers, soaked in the Word of God, overflowing into prayer and speaking the Word of God. And Mary learns from the Old Testament, and she's a humble servant of God. And she gives God the glory. The Mighty One has done great things for me. The Mighty One. She says, you know who's done it? It's not me. I'm not special. God has done wonderful things for me. And friends, you and I don't have the honour of giving birth to the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. But we do, if we trust in Jesus, have the honour of being God's children, being forgiven, being adopted into his family, receiving the Holy Spirit in us, having a place in eternity secured for us. We are brothers and sisters in the church family together. We accept it, secure and significant in Christ. We have all those blessings. And we ought to give God the glory in the midst of all of that. You know, when I was in Lebanon last year, I met a fellow who was a nominal Christian, wasn't genuine Christian at all, left his wife to marry a Muslim lady, became a Muslim, married a Muslim lady. I meet him, he's now become a Christian. I said, what happened? He said, my first wife put her faith in Jesus. She started to grow as a Christian. I saw the transformation in her. My Muslim wife was not happy, and that marriage ended as well, so I was alone. And then my wife was praying for me. My former wife was praying for me. My first wife was praying for me. And she invited me along to church. This is where Millard pastors. I came once or twice and I listened to the message, and there was something about the message of the gospel that gripped my heart. So I ended up getting converted, came back to Jesus. He then remarried that first wife. It's the first wedding Millard did in Lebanon. And testifying to God's grace and mercy in his life. He said, I didn't deserve any of this. I was a rebel and a sinner, alienated from God, but God did a wonderful thing in opening up my heart to receive that gospel. We give, we pray for Lebanon, because God is transforming lives from all backgrounds and all experiences. Finally, you see, Mary is a mother who humbly relies on God and Him alone. She says, holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Declares the holiness of God and stresses the way in which God's holiness plays itself out. And God's holiness has expressed itself and will express itself by exalting the humble. Listen to this. God lifts up, exalts the humble, and abases or brings down the proud. This is what's so significant. When you're humble before God, God will honor you, God will bless you. But when you are arrogant and full of pride and you want to run the world away from God, then God brings you down and humbles you. Lifts up the humble, brings down the proud. And we see this in a few areas. He says, His mercy extends to those who fear Him. He has lifted up the humble and He has filled the hungry with good things. That's the model for us. Trust God, be humble before Him, and He will bless you. On the other hand, He opposes, brings down the powerful and the rich. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has sent the rich away empty. Why is that? Why does God act in that way? Because it is wealth and power and pride, more often than not, that becomes substitutes for God rather than pointers to God. I've seen that in people. They're doing well, all of a sudden they have money and power and influence. God gets pushed out of their lives. They live the dream. The dream comes crashing down. because fulfillment doesn't come from wealth and power and pride. That's what God's telling us here. And I think Mary's song is a word of warning and a word of salvation, a word of warning and a word of salvation. God is not the least impressed by our pride, our power, and our wealth. And let me say, if you're a woman and you have a mother, you have less than other mothers, call it an honor. Don't read all the magazines. Don't watch all the beautiful people on the beautiful magazines all the time and want to be like them. Don't want to necessarily have the biggest house, the nicest car, the best holidays in the world. That is not where you will find your ultimate fulfillment. And John Piper writes, "Does this not commend itself as true, that the great and holy God should magnify his greatness by blessing the lowly and who admire his greatness by abasing the proud who resent his greatness?" Let me finish by a poem that was written by a grandmother, tying it to the mission theme that we have this month as well. And Lois served in the Northern Territory of Australia for many decades. And she raised her children with a heart for God as well. Two out of the three sons became missionaries. And when she retired, she assumed, as many would retire, you had to spend time with your kids and your grandkids and that type of thing. It didn't end up that way. And this is what she writes. "Lord, it hurts, but it's not about me. It's about them and their life and their adventures with you. Thank you for choosing them to take the message. Thank you that they, our children, should be worthy of this high calling. Give me courage, give me strength. Amidst my tears, may I rejoice. Our gorgeous grandchildren, look after them, Lord, as they live in other lands. We won't see them very much. It wasn't really my dream when we retired, but they will always be in our hearts. Please bless them real good. Use their bilingual abilities that they will gain overseas for you, Lord. Thank you for giving us children who have a passion for you. Thank you for our wonderful daughters, wives of our sons. Help me to always remember that you'll never leave them. I feel a lot better now. Thank you, Lord." Humbly releasing our children and our grandchildren to do what God has called them to do. Humbly rejoicing with them when they find their joy and satisfaction in God and they give their lives for the work of the gospel. Inspiring mothers all over this place, inspiring mothers all over the world. May we learn from Mary to put God first and to rejoice in him. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to learn from Mary's song. And Lord, it's my prayer today that every mother here, every grandmother, will feel validated, valued, honoured, despite the mistakes they have made, because we've all made mistakes. May the focus be on your grace in their lives, and may your grace give them hope and courage and confidence as they raise their children, as they influence their grandchildren, as they serve you in a variety of ways. May this day be a day that truly brings glory and honour to you, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.